Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Saturday, January 15th, and I am reading from the New International Version. We pick up in Genesis in chapter 14, and then in Psalms we'll be in 37, verses 18 through the end of the psalm, and in Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 45, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. Genesis 14 is another list of names. There's a lot of kings going against a lot of other kings in war. So again, I'm going to do the best I can, and we're going to make it through it. So here we go. Starting with the title, Abram Rescues Lot. At this time, Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goim, went to war against Bera, king of Sodom, Birsha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar. All these latter kings joined forces in the valley of Siddim, the Salt Sea. For 12 years they had been subject to Chedorlaomer, and in the 13th year they rebelled. In the 14th year, Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him went out and defeated the Rephites in Ashtoreth Canaim, the Zuzites in Ham, the Emites in Sheveh Kirathaim, and the Horites in the hill country of Seir, as far as El Paran, near the desert. Then they turned back and went to En Mispat, that is Kadesh, and they conquered the whole territory of the Amalekites, as well as the Amorites who were living in Hazazon Tamar. Then the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, marched out and drew up their battle lines in the valley of Siddim against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of Goim, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings against five. Now the valley of Siddim was full of tar pits, and when the king of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, some of the men fell into them, and the rest fled to the hills. The four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food. Then they went away. They also carried off Abram's nephew Lot and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. One who had escaped came and reported this to Abram the Hebrew. Now Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Aner, all of whom were allied with Abram. When Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions, together with the women and the other people. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is, the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram, saying, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand." Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abram, "Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself." But Abram said to the king of Sodom, "I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or a thong of the sandal, so that you will never be able to say, 'I made Abram rich.' I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who were with me, to Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share. Before we move on, I want to talk a little bit about Melchizedek. Do you remember last year when we read through Hebrews and there was this figure that appeared named Melchizedek and Jesus was a priest in his line? This is Melchizedek that we find in Genesis chapter 15. Melchizedek is also mentioned in other chapters of scripture, I think in a psalm and also in Hebrews chapter 7. And the interesting thing is that in Hebrews, the story is recounted again. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of God Most High, and he met Abram returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. The author of Hebrews is making a connection between Jesus and Melchizedek because he says that the order of Melchizedek, not the order of Aaron, is the line of priest from whom Jesus appears. And so the author of Hebrews is saying that Jesus is in the line of Melchizedek. Look at verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 7 if you have your Bible open. One who has become a priest, not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, so not in the line of Aaron, but in the basis of the power of an indestructible life. So we don't know that much about Melchizedek, but we do know that his ancestry is unclear. And so the author of Hebrews is just trying to make a connect here with someone who is not in the line of Aaron that was a priest of God Most High. Did you notice that title? It was wonderful. I want to pray that way to God Most High, the creator of all things. This is the God whom we serve and the God with whom we have the privilege of relating in prayer. Okay, so Melchizedek can be a difficult figure in scripture, but I just wanted to make that little connect. And if you want more on Melchizedek, let me know and we'll get you some more resources. Let's move on to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 37, starting in verse 18, and we'll go through the end of the psalm. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish like smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives. But the Lord will not leave them in their power or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in its native soil. But he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace. but all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in times of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them, because they take refuge in Him. And now let's move over to the book of Mark. Today we're in Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 45. And as we read, I'm realizing that I'm very much drawn to Jesus's healing of people and also His power over nature. Like, I love the picture of Jesus calming the storm. And today we're going to have the story of Jesus walking on the water. Immediately, Jesus made His disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to Bethsaida while He dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, He went up on the mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and He was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, He went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw Him walking on the lake, they thought He was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw Him and were terrified. Immediately He spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then He climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard He was. And wherever He went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in their marketplaces. They begged Him to let them touch even the edge of His cloak, and all who touched Him were healed. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. Happy Saturday to you. I hope you're having a wonderful day. My friend Jane Houth sends out daily devotional thoughts, and she will put anybody on her email list. So if you're interested, Jane is a member of our church, and she has done the Friday podcast with us. But Jane wrote a prayer at the end of one of her devotions this week. And to close our podcast today, I'd like to read it. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, as we go about our day, help us to remember that You are bigger than life, and nothing compares to Your love. On our worst days, help us to find comfort in Your never-failing promises. On our best days, help us to marvel at the knowledge that so much more awaits us in heaven. We know that Your love is better than life itself, and You are the love of our lives. All praise and glory be Yours. Amen.